We're going beyond science fiction in a moment with Jim Wilhelmsen right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're taking you on a ride beyond science fiction tonight with Jim Wilhelmsen, an ordained minister. You know, he pioneered one of the first evangelical Christian motorcycle clubs in Detroit in the late 70s. Also a member of MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, since 1996 as a religious researcher. Personal commitment led him to become a resident of Roswell, New Mexico. He owned a bookstore there, museum, providing a biblical perspective on the UFO alien phenomena. Jim, co-founder of the Paranormal and Alien Abduction Problem Solvers International, is our main guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Great.
I think I was in Detroit in the 70s when you were on a motorcycle. You went right by me and didn't even say hi.
Well, if you saw me, probably it was on my, that had to be my 51 Panhead. Beautiful Harley.
Were you born out there?
Yeah, I was.
Me too.
Born in Detroit. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I left there in 1978. I went to Minneapolis as a news director before going to St. Louis, but I was there for years. My parents are still there and sisters are still there. Love it.
My parents grew up in Brightmoor, and that's where we had our ministry, was right in the Brightmoor.
Oh, that's great. Detroit. Well, Detroit is not what it used to be. This economic hit, man, has been horrible for it.
It's a ghost town. I mean, they could use it as a post-nuclear backdrop for a movie.
Very sad. Very sad indeed. Tell me a little bit about yourself beyond just the biochip.
Well, you've covered about
that's
bit,
it. That's
already.
Your whole life. Good night. Thanks for being on the show, Jim. We'll see.
Well, let's see. I'm currently counseling and providing help for victims of alien abduction, and I do offer them a total termination of the experience if they're willing to listen to what I have
Wonderful.
To say. I do this in conjunction with a couple other people who have formed PAPSI, our organization. That's David Ruffino in California and Joe Jordan in Florida. And we've been doing this for quite some time. We do it primarily through the internet and through telephone conversations, because none of us can actually get around and physically be in front of everybody.
Yeah.
But we've had some pretty amazing impacts and great success. And unlike others, and I'm not trying to, you know, say that I'm any better or anything, but what we provide is biblical counseling. As far as I know, on this entire planet, there's only about 8 of us that are actually doing this, you know, with any kind of trained pastoral backgrounds.
That's a great background. Well, how did someone with a strong biblical background get interested and involved in UFOs and alien abductions?
Well, you know, that subject has been something of a fascination with me all my life. As a child, you know, I had a telescope. I used to hunt the skies hoping to see one. I must have read about everything I could get my hands on in the late 50s and early 60s. My interest started to wane in the 70s because there was a metaphysical aspect that seemed to attach itself to what I thought should be a scientific study. And at that time, I didn't believe in any kind of spirituality or anything at all. I was purely nut and bolt and just couldn't relate anymore. I became a Christian in 1974, and because of the knowledge I had about everything that I'd read about UFOs and the few sightings that I did have, I just wondered how this fit into my newly found faith. Through praying and fasting, I received a few scriptures, I believe, that brought my awareness to what was really going on with UFOs and aliens, and I got Genesis 6, Daniel 11, Jude 6, and 2 Thessalonians 2:9. From that, for the time, I was satisfied that somehow what was happening now with aliens and UFOs had something to do with the judgment and the world before the flood. I knew it was negative, but at the time, pioneering a new ministry like what I had, I was just too busy taking care of that.
Yeah.
But I always sensed that if I ever heard the next step of any hybridization or intermixing with humans and non-humans, that we were going to become coming back full circle to what I had understood in Genesis 6. I didn't know it was already going on. I wasn't aware of it that then. And back at that early date, there really wasn't it wasn't popular. You didn't see it on TV or anything. So for me, it was like 20 years later. I had a friend of mine. She knew I didn't watch much TV, and I had been home with a broken ankle. So she called me up because she wanted me to watch this, as she called, a freak show. And she just wanted to see my, she was anticipating the shock value of me having this experience. So I turned this program on. It's called Jerry Springer.
Oh, yeah.
Things, the,
Jerry.
And And of all things, the topic then was alien abduction. And my first thought was, boy, it can't get any weirder than this. This is really crazy. And as I, in spite of the laughing, and they were just, it was horrible.
It was a ruckus, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, they were making fun of the abductees. And
yeah.
It was just, what a shame. But as I watched that, I realized, oh my God, this is what I had been waiting for. It's here, it's personal, it's real. And I believe that at that moment, I got an inspiration from the Lord that he told me that I'm to stand in a gap to all of this, and this was my next ministry. This is what he was going to have me to do next.
That's fascinating, Jim.
That night, I had a dream that has forever changed my life. It was, I guess we got the time I can get into.
Oh, we've got all night. We're not going anywhere.
All righty. In this dream, it was one of those dreams that's so intense. You had the smells, the sights. It's, I mean, like almost like you were really there.
Yeah.
I was in like an underground subterranean complex. It was well lit. You could smell ozone from electrical equipment and everything going on. And I remembered I was like back behind some computers, but I could hear some echoed voices and everything. And so I kind of skirted around, almost like I didn't want to be caught or, found out or something. Uh-huh. And I skirted around these things. And then I saw the focus of attention. There was this UFO that just looked right out of the 1950s science fiction movies. But all of a sudden, it was almost like it was a holograph and somebody was changing channels. It turned into something that was alive and pulsating with veins. And it kept going back and forth, back and forth. Well, when it was in the time when it was a nut and bolt UFO, I somehow got snuck inside. It was just all white, real bright light. You couldn't even really define any furniture, rooms, or anything like that. And then I sensed there was something on the wall next to me, and I put my hand up there. And at the same time, I heard a voice, like a woman narration in the back, saying that for the past 50 years, this mystery has been unsolved, and the best minds, have been working on trying to find a solution. Well, as I put my hand on the wall, I noticed that there was like gold writing on the wall, and it was in Hebrew. And immediately, almost a response, probably because of my pastoral background, I said, well, that's Hebrew. You have to know what it says in the Bible in order to understand what's really going on.
Right.
The Bible has the answers. Well, then I woke up, and I'm going, whoa, that's too weird and real. I've had other dreams. I believe that God has communicated to me on different things, but it was always of a personal nature and nothing, broader scope like this. And it kind of, in conjunction with after seeing the Jerry Springer program, it kind of confirmed that, I need to separate myself and seek him out and find out what the next step is to all of this. And it was a convenient time for me in my life. I had just gotten laid off from a pretty high-paying job in automotive prototype, so I had a lot of money saved up. So I thought, you know what, I don't have to get back to work right away. I'm going to take some time, pray, start studying, start researching, and seeing what all of this is, what's going on. Well, as it was like a rabbit hole, as I started finding out more and more, and almost like layered information, that's kind of the way I got my book written too, is so that I don't throw everything all at once, but you have layered information that builds upon itself and then, to a conclusion. Well, the story started getting stranger and stranger, and I was actually getting upset. It was like, oh my God, who's ever going to believe me? This is so whacked out and out of context for anything that would be considered normal. I mean, including a lot of elements, a hollow earth, the Nazi escape to the Antarctic, just all kinds of stuff. And some of this stuff, I laughed at first. I thought it was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But then I was soon to find out how serious it was. What I did was bring everything back from other researchers, mostly secular, with an open mind, reading as much as I could and bringing it back and seeing where it fit, if it could fit in the scriptures. And I kind of go on the pretense that I do believe the Bible is the infallible word of God. I believe that anything and everything mankind is ever going to be confronted with is there. So one thing that, well, if I had any hair left, I could pull it out. But one thing that caused me to want to do that is when I hear other pastors say, well, the Bible doesn't have anything to say about that.
It's in there.
I'm sorry. If there's something that is coming against our faith or something that is a challenge in our society where we need some kind of either a moral compass or just a historical narration, find out what's going on.
Well, let me get this take from you, Jim, as we mm-hmm. move on, so it'll give us a better perspective of the direction and where you're coming from.
Yeah.
UFOs, demonic or not?
We're dealing with a technology that's man-made and earthbound.
Man-made, earthbound, okay.
So is the technology in itself, I believe it's like a gun. guns don't kill people, people kill people.
People kill people.
Technology in our hands, unfortunately, that enable people to do what these things can do is only like giving a kid a loaded gun and saying, go be responsible. Well, no, we're not going to, because our innate nature is that we're going to abuse this power.
So you believe the abductions are happening?
I believe they're absolutely happening in a very real physical way. Now, this is where Joe Jordan and I totally disagree. He thinks none of this is happening on a physical plane. It's all just mental. Well, the only reason we can work together is because we have the same answer, the same solution in the person of Jesus Christ. So we agree on that and can work in that capacity, but I totally disagree with him that this is something that is very real, very tangible, very physical. I've got way too many scriptures to indicate and show that. But going back to the original Hebrew and Greek, in many of the texts, it actually is describing cloning. It's talking about gene splicing. There's quite a few scriptures that I cover in my book.
All right, but when you say it's all, this is man-made technology, mm-hmm. was it man-made, reverse-engineered from above, or developed here?
Well, the Bible tells us that there would be a time, well, before the flood, sons of God came into the daughters of men. Now, this is almost pivotal. If you don't understand this, and much of the church does not understand it, something supernatural is going on here. The sons of God, when it was even in the time of Christ, the sons of God was a term only used in reference to angelic heavenly beings or angels.
Right, right.
Now, to say it was just humans, good people marrying bad people, God got ticked off, wiped out the whole world, is just, you know, that is just so wrong and not consistent with the scriptures. Non-human entities had interbred with the human race, producing this offspring, the giants of the Nephilim. Now, along with that, the Book of Enoch, which even though it's not canonical literature, it's quoted by Jude, and I think because of that, we can assert that at least it has historical significance. In the Book of Enoch, it says that also that the fallen angels had scattered the secrets of heaven amongst men. Well, I see that secrets of heaven is not magic or anything other than technology. That's why we have some of these mysteries, technological marvels in buildings and things mm-hmm. that are there. It's because, now, people want to say it's aliens. I say it's fallen angels. It really comes down to semantics. They're both the same, and they're both bad guys, and they have no good in purpose intention for mankind. They have their own agenda.
Interesting. Okay. So this technology that is here, who developed it?
Well, I believe it was developed to a certain level before the flood.
That far back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the whole purpose of the Tower of Babel, you know, I always thought this was interesting when I became a Christian. I heard about the, you know, Tower of Babel, and basically it was always presented that this was some kind of a climbing program and an act of rebellion to what, I guess, climb and pull down God from heaven? I mean, he would have looked at that and laughed because they would have died of oxygen depletion long before that ever happened. And besides, the most interesting thing is this Tower of Babel, where most archaeologists think that the actual site is, and there's about three or four, and it's in dispute, but all of them are in a valley. If you're building a tower to make a climbing program, why would you build it in a valley?
You don't. Because you're already starting
exactly
in a negative,
now,
right?
Now, when you in all Bible translations, I don't care whether you got the Douay Catholic version or whether you have the King James version, all of them, you'll notice that the word "reached unto" is italicized. It means that there's no actual Hebrew word in there. And what is more appropriate and consistent with the scriptures is "likened unto." Because one of the Levitical laws is to not liken anything unto heaven or on the earth or under the earth. So this was an act of rebellion. What they were doing was trying to retain the knowledge that had existed before the flood. There's even a contingency plan. Now, this they now do. When you go back to the Hebrew there, it actually is describing by those Hebrew words an attempt to pry open or bore a hole into an eternal realm. So they're trying to travel. What they're actually doing is trying to contain the knowledge of that ability to travel that way.
Now, this technology, though, Jim, was it mm-hmm. was it built with human hands and human technology?
Well, it was probably a combination, an alliance, you know, with humans and fallen angels
okay.
who actually dwelt and lived among us. By which, by the way, probably later on we'll get into it, the Bible also tells us that as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. These guys are back, and they're in our midst, even amongst us right now. Now, when I was writing my book, I was very concerned when I understood this. I was thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to present this without some nutcase going in McDonald's and whacking 10 people saying that they were Nephilim, they were angels, fallen angels, and, you know, God told me to do this, and I read it in this book.
I read it in this book, yeah.
Oh, God. You know, so I had to make sure that I had plenty of disclaimer, plenty of scriptures to back up that no, you know, none of us are going to be alien hunters. We're not going to be stalking any of these down. As a matter of fact, what's interesting in the Bible, the great commission that Jesus gave us, it says, go out and preach to every creature.
Do you know Dr. Hugh Ross, by any chance?
He sounds familiar, though. The name sounds familiar.
He's a believer, as some others are, that these ETs are demonic forces, that they're here to trick us.
Yeah, I believe that. I definitely believe it. It's all part of a deception. It started before the flood, and now it's coming to its total fruition in our time.
And we're right in the middle of it now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right, tell me a little bit just before the break here. Let's talk about some of your case studies of these abductees. No names need to be given. What?
Right. No, I wouldn't do that anyway.
What? Unless they're prominent people, and we'd like to hear who they are. But what are some of the cases that just stand out for you?
Well, you know, one of the cases that really touched me, and this is really the heart of everything that I do. You know, some of the debating of the intellectual aspects are interesting, fun. Everybody likes a mystery and, you know, to try to solve a mystery. But for me, the reason I'm in here is for the human impact. When I pastored a motorcycle ministry, I saw people that pretty much everybody else had given up on, either drugs, alcohol, whatever.
Right,
but
right.
I was able to make an impact and see their lives change. And this one guy in California, we'll call him Dan. He was in sales, professional,
okay.
Good education. He happened to have seen a UFO sighting one night when he's coming home from work. And then after that, he started having apparitions appear. Now, this is really going to be a strange sounding story.
Not on this show.
He said he saw things starting to move in the walls in his room at night, going through the walls, almost like one science fiction movie with Michael J. Fox. I can't remember the name of that one, but and it started scaring him, and it was progressively getting worse and worse, and he was entertaining these things in a sense out of fear, and they were getting to him, and he's making the association. Now, this isn't, you know, your typical, you know, grays coming in and abducting or anything, but this was a harassment that ended up leading this man to being separated from his wife, lost all privileges to see his two daughters, was no longer working. At 46 years old, he was living at his mom and dad's house, afraid to even leave his bedroom, lost his job, lost just about everything in his life. When he called me up and asked for help, quite frankly, you get some of those cases where you wonder if anything is, you know, could change a person. I simply shared with him, he was not a Christian, didn't really have much of a background, but I told him and explained to him that what I have is not difficult. It's not rocket science. It's actually so simple that it's offensive to some people because it is so simple. But that's the beauty, I think, of God's grace. I prayed with him. He accepted Christ as a Savior. And then I gave him some scriptures and walked him through a study on spiritual authority and the fact of who he is now and what authority that he has. So he started coming against these things and doing everything that I had said. Well, I hadn't heard from him in about 2 months, and I started wondering. I forgot to get his email address. I really did a poor job of following up because I got so engrossed.
And again, you're not seeing these people face-to-face.
Right, exactly. So 3 months later, he calls him up, and he says, Pastor Jim, I just want to let you know that I've been doing everything you said, and he says, I need more scriptures. I want to let you know that I'm back to work. My wife, I want to read a letter that my wife sent to me, it's just what it's all about. Long story short, I gave him some more to do. He was leaving and looking for work. A couple months later, he's back to work. He's got visiting rights with his children. The wife is talking, not closing the door, but saying if and when. And I was just encouraging him that, you know, look, she's seen a really dark side, an event that she doesn't fully understand. But if you're consistent in taking the steps that you're doing, because he had become almost agoraphobic. He was just afraid to even leave the house.
Let's get a couple more of those cases, Jim, when we come back. Here's our next emerging artist, Ellen Wilson, the song Ma Gadlu, El Paso, Texas. And with our special guest tonight, Jim Wilhelmsen, as we talk beyond science fiction. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. Title to your work, Jim, Beyond Science Fiction. Tell me why you picked the title.
Well, as I began to study more and more, there was including so many different elements, Hollow Earth, time travel, non-human entities integrating and infiltrating into our human society, steering us towards a one-world government working with human agents. That's pretty wild stuff.
Yeah.
And they're all elements, I believe, to one story, Paradise Lost and Regained. We're going through the dark period right now. Eventually it's going to get better. But to be able to come to grips with the idea, even of a Hollow Earth or any of these other elements, it just seems so out of context. It's unbelievable. So beyond science fiction, if nothing else, my book provides that. Now, I realize I'm bringing together things that do sound so out of context. So what I've done is I've got over something like 180 books right down as documentation. You know, I'm showing this is the work of other researchers,
references
other people,
and things, yeah.
And this is where, I haven't just concocted this myself. This is where they get their information, and this is where I'm adding the biblical dimension that these things are also mentioned in the scriptures, and here's the prophetic parts of how these different elements are fulfilled.
Well, what do you believe the aliens to be, specifically?
I believe they are, there's two different sources. They are, some of them are disembodied spirits.
Okay.
We would call demons. The Bible, I believe, teaches that these are the remains of those hybrids that were part human, part fallen angel. They were put into a special judgment as being a disembodied spirit to be carried up or dragged down. This is in, you can't get this on surface rendering. You have to go back to the original languages, see what the words are really saying, and bring out a more 21st century perspective on it. It's not that the translations are mistranslated. They did the best they had with what they could. It's almost like some of these revelations would be progressive in their understanding as the technology was there to bring out the full potential of these words.
Were they ever physical? They died and then these spirits?
Yes, they were. Now, also, I've got scriptures to show that they are going to be brought back into a physical realm again. But there's also other fallen angels that are just as tangible and real as you and I. They're spirit beings. This is something that my fellow Christians, I can't get across to them, many of them, is that they can't understand that although they're called spirit beings, we're referred to as souls, but we have a body and a spirit.
Sure.
So they're spirit beings because that's their primary operating function, but they also have a body. Paul even outlined that in Corinthians. He says that there's bodies that are terrestrial and bodies that are celestial. Celestial is flesh and bone, no blood included, and ours is in an altered, frail state. The resurrected body that we're promised is flesh and bone. Jesus said, I am flesh and bone. So the blood, there's a lot of importance there in blood and even some of the Levitical laws, why it's been forbidden even today to eat blood.
Right. So you believe that they're one, demons, or two, fallen angels?
Fallen angels.
Right.
And fallen angels, very physical, very tangible. That's why, to me, it's just a matter of semantics. You want to call them aliens? Fine. I'll call them fallen angels, but they're still non-human entities that have an agenda, and no good will for mankind is included in that agenda.
So you do not believe then that ETs originate at all from other planetary systems?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if they could or couldn't.
But you don't think so?
Well, I bring everything back to what I believe the scriptures can tell us. Now, when I say that, now, this is all I ask from the listening audience or anybody that is wanting to scrutinize my work. I think a lot of people get nervous when you mention a Bible, and they think you're going to get ready to beat them over the head and try to convert you, and that's not my purpose. So what I ask people is if you can look at my work as merely using the Bible as a historical narrative. A good example of this is I'm not a Hindu. As a Christian, I'm about as 180 degrees diametrically opposed to a lot of their beliefs system. But yet, I'm not going to turn myself off from considering some of their texts and literature.
Right.
The Bhagavad-gita, the one poem there is clearly describing Vimnas, which are craft that look
like
UFOs.
Yeah.
Missile launchings and all of the aftermaths of an atomic war.
See, I think, Jim, we had a civilization, a technology that got obliterated.
Oh, I totally agree.
I don't know, maybe millions of years ago. I don't know how far back. Michael Cremo thinks we go back 100 million years, but all of a sudden those remains are gone. I mean, they're just gone, buried deep within this planet somewhere, obliterated, who knows? But I think you're right. I think these ancient texts clearly point out that something was here and something happened.
I would, in my perspective, it's like looking at a coin from two different angles, perhaps, but I would see this as this is definitely the world that existed before the flood. And we get some clear indications.
High technology.
Yes. Some of the scriptures indicate that there was an altering of the pathways of the animals. Well, that's genetic manipulation.
True.
That existed back then.
And maybe us, too.
We find archaeological hints to all of this kind of stuff. The interesting thing about what I was getting back to the Indian Vedic writings, what is compelling to me, and that's where I have to keep an open mind, is that, okay, we have these religious texts. I'm not going to follow the religious part of it, but I'm going to look at it and see and realize that there is an element of recorded history here, maybe in the form of a myth, but it's still actual history. The proof in that is that archaeologists have found vitrified cities in India. They found skeletal remains of human beings that have a very unusually high carbon 14 count. That's a nuke site.
That's a nuke site.
And it goes right along, and this corresponds and goes right along with what we are reading in their ancient texts. So what I'm asking everybody, the listening audience, don't get nervous about the Bible. Look at it. You know, I'm not preaching to you, turn and burn, shake or bake, or anything. I'm saying there's a historical narrative that exists in the Bible that is describing accurately alien abductions, New World Order, conspiracy. It's all there.
How do we know that these atomic wars that probably occurred in the past weren't done by planetary ETs who came here, not very happy with us, and blew us up?
Well, there is, in the Bible, the word, I'm going to mispronounce the Hebrew. I'm not very good at pronouncing the Hebrew. Shamian, the word for heaven, actually is describing three different areas. The earth, the atmosphere around the earth, the celestial bodies, the physical space, and in a third place, outside of time itself, where God's domain is. Now, the Bible indicates that angels, and I'm talking fallen or, non-fallen, originally dwelt with God in this eternal realm outside of time. Although in Ezekiel 28th chapter, it's an indication that angels transverse or travel through the second heaven. So the work of my friend Dave Flynn, talking about Mars, Sedona, the planet of war, probably was an outpost during this Genesis 6 contamination or infiltration or whatever you'd call it. So I have no problem with the fact that they're traveling through and being a part of
Jim, what do you think of Zechariah Sitchin's work, where he believes this extra planet is in our solar system and that the visitors came here a long time ago, genetically altered us, and then, they mined for gold, and they took off.
Well,
or they destroyed themselves.
All due respect to him. I have another friend, Dr. Michael Heiser.
Who doesn't believe in Zechariah Sitchin's theories.
No, and I'm right there with Mike. And Mike is the expert on the Hebrew. I'm not. So I'm not even going to pretend to be on the caliber that he is in on his level. But
let's get into today's visitations and today's sightings. One. Are they physical craft up there that people are seeing, or are they seeing these holograms?
No, I think it's physical craft.
Physical craft. Okay.
But it goes back to the occult research and involvement that the Nazis had.
All right. Craft originating from this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Who is flying them, in your opinion?
Actually, a combination, a lot of people. I think after the end of World War II, we gleaned some of the technology through Operation Paperclip. And the Galen organization, and it's taken us probably 60 years just to catch up with what they had at the end of the war. Like I was saying, that in the Book of Enoch, it says that the fallen angels had scattered the secrets of heaven.
Yeah, but I mean, who's flying them now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Some of them are probably our own military.
Okay.
One group. A last bastion of Nazis, which would be now, what, maybe second, third generation from New Schwabenland in the Antarctic, Base 211. When I first heard about this, I laughed. I hysterically laughed. I thought it was the most kicked in the head weird idea I ever heard. I'm thinking, boy, you can hear anything on the internet. And this is one of these synchronicity type of things.
All right, what did your research show you on this one?
Well, you know, I wasn't even going to give a serious thought. My son came up to me. I've got a computer Bible program where I can go back to the original languages and study, and I kind of geek out. I really enjoy that kind of thing, so I can geek out for hours, you know, on end just doing a word study on one word. He came up to me one time, and he said, Dad, can we do a Bible study together on the computer? I thought, well, cool. You know, I want to encourage him to, you know, get into that, and definitely. And then he says, on hell. I'm going, you know, that's about the last subject on earth I want to do an in-depth study on. But I went along with him, and I said, okay, you know, son, we'll do that.
What was he looking for?
I guess he just wanted to do one. I personally think this was a heads-up, God saying, Jim, quit laughing, and heads-up, take this serious. I'm trying to tell you something here. As I started looking at all the scriptures, I began to realize that the Bible taught that there's holes at the poles, that there's an inner earth, two different chambers. How exactly this works out in physics, I don't know. But as I did more research on that, read the one guy's book, Hollow Earth, Hollow Planets, realized that there was a lot of serious scientific study that and the bottom line is we really don't know what's below in the earth and how it physically actually is.
Do you think that's where they're coming from? They're being hidden there?
Well, I think most of the bases are there. If you look at the one book that was done in MIT, Alien Abduction, Alien Discussions, in their conclusions, now they took 300 of the best alien abduction cases and scrutinized and poured over everything, you know, what was in common, what was different. In any transitions that existed, in other words, from people being nabbed, they usually went to from a small craft to a bigger craft. No one ever saw themselves going actually out in space or going from outer space into an alien world. In all transitional cases where they went to a different environment, it was always either in a tunnel or a cave on the surface and then down into a subterranean domain, or it was going into the ocean or the sea or a lake and then going into a tunnel into an inner domain.
All right, these huge triangular-shaped objects that people are seeing, and they're seeing something.
I believe those are ours.
Okay, where are we keeping these things?
Probably all over. If you do the study of work on, can't think of his name now, the one that wrote the book on underground tunnels. I met him in Roswell one time. Pretty impressed me as a pretty down-earth guy, but when he found out I was a Christian, he got kind of violently upset with me, but I still thought his work was pretty fascinating.
Sanderson?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, you know, the way he approached everything, I mean, he just went to government receipts and found out that the United States government has been spending huge amounts of money through Rockwell and other places with tunneling and mining equipment. And, I mean, you know, the way he mathematically projected it, I mean, we're talking massive amounts of building in order to, you know, explain all of these receipts and everything. He makes a very good point that, you know, we've got this. I heard rumors when I lived in Roswell that... you know, out at the base there, the boneyard, that there was a hangar where you see cars parked there for months on end, and you know, people go in with business work suits, and then sometimes they'd be seen coming out in coveralls or whatever. But you know, the cars would be parked there for months. I started checking it out, and I saw that, you know, there's a truth there.
Why the alien abductions? If these are being done from people within this planet, what are they doing? What do they want with these people?
I think Isaiah 14th chapter 36th verse addresses that. You have to go back to the original language in the Hebrew there. And actually, they're trying to create a shell. It's a self-redemptive process.
Create a what?
They're creating a shell. How do you take a reptilian form or, you know, a gray form?
Oh, a physical shell.
And make it into a shell of a human. And so through gene splicing, there's other scriptures. I got this all in my book on, you know, the whole purpose and reason for it. It's not just the hybridization program. It's a self-redemption program is what they're trying to do. They're trying to imitate somehow the best of both worlds, imitate something of the resurrected body, which I think is already DNA encoded into our own makeup.
Most of the people who have contacted you, do they describe similar occurrences?
Well, quite a few of the women in particular described the very same typical things. I had one woman, she was, when she was a little girl, now she was a pastor's kid. When she was a little girl, and I think around puberty or more, they took her to the doctor for a physical examination, full physical, and the doctor came back. Now, her problem was she had 30-some years of guilt as to what happened in her life. Why did she go through what she went through? At 14 or 15 years old, the doctor, after examining her, came and to her, pulled her away from her parents privately and said, "Okay, dear, when did you lose your virginity?" And she says, "Well, I haven't. I'm a virgin. I've never had, you know, I've never been with anyone." And the doctor says, "No, you've been pregnant. When did you get an abortion?" She broke out in tears. She was horrified by that. So she carried this guilt for like 30-some years. When she ran into me, she began to tell me how she would have the nosebleeds, the ringing in the ears, the dreams about, you know, stick men and all the other things. And it was very obvious that she had had, you know, this experience in her past. She was still, most of that had left her, but she was still once in a while getting frightened, feeling a presence of something in her room, and was never at peace, but she always had this guilt.
Are they harvesting kids, children?
You know, that's probably part of it, because they're doing this in increments, in a gene splicing thing where they can't produce the final end product of their desire or goals, so they have to do everything progressively in increments. And I think that's what's probably happening. Now, you know, some people say, "Oh, that's horrible. You know, God wouldn't allow that to happen." Well, no, I'm sorry. I got scriptures that can show you that that can happen and is happening.
Where are they putting these people?
You know, I be honest with you, I have no idea. I really don't know. Perhaps underground complexes, bases.
You know,
some of them working in conjunction with other human agents.
10,000 people disappear right out of the United States every year. 10,000 people. They're gone. They don't know where they are.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Well, and something is going on, and it's pretty blood-curdling when you come to begin to realize, you know, what's happening.
And you talked about the Nazi technology, and this is, of course, during World War II. So you think that they were the, even though we had this technology way back, was it the Nazis who perfected it, or did they knew of the ancient technology?
Well, they apparently now, you know, these are unsubstantiated rumors, and I'm good with rumors. If I can find scripture that goes chapter, text, and verse with a rumor, then to me, it stopped becoming a rumor. But that's from my, you know, perspective looking at it biblically. There are rumors of three different sources. One is that in 1937, there was a crash. They had their own Roswell version. There was a crash in the Black Forest, and the Brill Society began back engineering what they had discovered. Another one was, what's her name, Maria?
That's all right. Go ahead. You're having trouble with names tonight. So.
Yeah, Maria Ortic, I think is her name, Altic, Ortic. She was a clairvoyant, part of the Fuelist Society, and assumed a part of the Brill Society. At a seance or a meeting one time, she received some automatic writing, and it actually ended up becoming supposedly blueprints and everything for some of the Brill saucers that were first began. The other thing was the SS Anunnab. You remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Sure, you know, of course.
Where they were in the ancient Egyptian digs. Well, the SS Anunnab believed that contained within ancient artifacts, ancient myths and legends, was a technology that they could procure and extract from that. Wellesberg Castle under Heinrich Himmler was the Nazi think tank. They literally went all over the world. They went to the to Greenland. They went to then from Tibet, South America. They even started buying up a lot of property in New Mexico along the mountainous areas.
Well, with that kind of technology, Jim, you would have thought they would have obliterated us, but it didn't happen. Here's our last emerging artist, Third Wheel Neil. Song is Carousel. From West Brookfield, Vermont.